If you keep waiting for the right answers, you'll never get there. So do the dive. You'll figure it out as you go, because there's no such thing as perfect. The term is not practice makes perfect. It's practice makes progress. Move the needle. That's all you gotta do. If I'm gonna give advice to anybody, take the risk. Whether it's starting a business or doing anything, just do it.
Welcome to the Hired Hub podcast, your ultimate guide to mastering the complexities of remote work and pushing your career forward.
Whether you're tuning in from the busy streets of Latin America or any corner of the globe, we're here to give you tools and insights to succeed in today's dynamic job market. I'm your host, Gaby Morales.
And I am your co-host, Jess Torres. If you're a recent graduate eager to leave your mark, or a seasoned pro looking to redirect your career, you can join us as we explore the endless possibilities of remote work and career growth.
Get ready to unlock your full potential with the Hired Hub podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Hired Hub, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of remote work and uncover the secrets to building a successful career from anywhere in the world.
Today, we have a special treat for you, a story of ambition, innovation, and resilience that will leave you inspired and ready to take on new challenges.
Imagine being 18 years old, stepping into the role of a retail store manager, leading a team of seasoned professionals twice your age.
This was the beginning of an extraordinary journey of our guest today, a journey filled with bold moves, strategic thinking, and pursuit of excellence.
Solomon Fowler is the CEO of Hired Remotely, a platform dedicated to connecting remote professionals with global opportunities, particularly in Latin America.
With a background in managing diverse teams and a disruptive mindset, he drives innovation and growth.
Under his leadership, Hired Remotely has launched this podcast, The Hired Hub, and plans to introduce career coaching, educational courses, and a vibrant community forum to support remote professionals.
His vision is to empower remote workers to thrive in their careers and build in supporting communities. So, Solomon, welcome to the podcast. We're so happy to finally have you with us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Gabby. Thank you, Jess. Pleasure to be here.
So we asked you guys in a recent poll on LinkedIn about what topic interests you guys the most for today's episodes. We told you guys that we were going to introduce you to our CEO, and it's fantastic to see such engagement from our audience. It seems that there's a strong interest in learning about entrepreneur, its insights, because we got 57% of the votes leaning towards this topic, and understanding that these insights and experiences of our CEO in the entrepreneurial world promise to give like a valuable insight and discussion for today. So thank you guys for sharing your preferences. We really want to bring you an episode packed with valuable insights and inspiration, and we hope that you enjoy it as much as we're going to. So, Gabby, what do you think about the poll results?
I found it super interesting, honestly. I would like to know more about like why that was the selection. Like, why was that? Because it's significantly higher than the other two options. But I do think it makes sense. Like, I feel like a lot of people nowadays, they want to innovate. They want to do things maybe on their own. And of course, listening to insights from a person that's done it before, how is that not helpful? How is that not valuable? So I think this is going to be a great way to start this conversation. And who better than the person that has three running businesses and that actually has Hired Remotely, which is a very successful business. I would love to know more about it, honestly. So it's really exciting. So Solomon, let's start with the first topic of the day. And it has to do exactly with Hired Remotely, you know, the vision and the future plans that it has. What inspired you first to start this business? And how did it actually come to be hired remotely? Like, we want to know that story.
Well, starting this business it doesn't happen overnight for sure. And it's a long path to where I got to right now. My journey kind of started when I was 18, straight out of high school, went straight into a retail management position of Rainbow Shops. It's a retail store based out in the United States. They have, I think, close to 7,000 stores across the United States. I was a store manager for one of those down in New York City. I was 18, managing people that were twice and sometimes three times my age. And given so much responsibility for a person that young, obviously trains you and shapes you to a much better person than you for doing anything else. That's sort of my entrepreneurial journey definitely started from there. I was never a worker bee, but rather the in upper management, if you will. After that position, I said to myself, you know, I have to hone in my skills and perfect it. And I went to university, a local university in Brooklyn. And while I was in school, I was working at a telecommunication store because I was always a techie person. I was working at a telecommunication store, but not as a worker bee, as a store manager. I was managing maybe 7 or 8 people. Back to the Rainbow Shops for a second. I wasn't just managing the people. I was creating schedules for them, making sure the resources were being used properly, doing inventory. Once a year, doing inventory, making sure the loss of inventory was less than 2% from the entire store. So we were allowed to lose 2% a year on inventory. And if my store got under a 2%, we would get, you know, incentives and things like that. And this, we're talking about, you know, sales per day of $30,000-$40,000. So 2% is still a significant amount. So if you were able to get under 2% of, you know, loss management when we're doing our biannually inventory counts. And this was back in, I would say, 2002, 2003. So there was inventory was all done manually. So we had to count physically every single piece. So those skills that I learned throughout my career, when it comes to from the Rainbow Shops to working in Verizon Wireless, it was definitely shaped where I am right now, for sure. Then after those two experiences, I realized that, you know, there's two different types of work. One that requires physical labor, where a person has to physically be there, like a retail store or, you know, construction workers. And there's other jobs where you don't necessarily have to be where the job is physically located. Things can be done remotely, and there's talent everywhere in the world. And, you know, companies are always looking for to save money, because the bottom line for the most important thing for any company is, you know, increasing the bottom line. You know, there are choices across the world, you know, across the hemisphere. But I decided, you know, let's capitalize and utilize the talent that's in the same time zone. And there are a lot of very skilled, very professional people, you know, in Latin America. And that was my choice. That was my go-to. I know I went a little bit overboard there, but yeah.
No, it's okay. I think it's an amazing journey that you've had throughout the years. And just leading a team, being 18 years old, it shows how much of leadership that you have. And it's amazing to see how those early experiences and your passion for continuous improvement has led you to create Hire Remotely, and it takes you where you are right now. Just breaking barriers, supporting remote professionals, especially in Latin America, I think that's really valuable. And your dedication, it's just building a supportive community and providing valuable resources. So thank you so much for sharing that story. And I want to know a little bit about how Hire Remotely started, but also a vision of how you see Hire Remotely in 5 to 10 years. Like, can you share specific initiatives, like webinars or things that you think are coming next?
So Hire Remotely started about 3 years ago now, maybe two years ago now. We started right in the middle of COVID. We saw there was a need and it was expanding. And we saw that when we were posting our ads, we are getting a lot of traction, a lot of engagement on our ads, a lot of applicants per day. And, you know, we have grown our LinkedIn audience to over 150,000 followers. That is a significant amount. That means there is 150,000 of you guys that want more, that want something, that are looking for something, whether it's a job, whether it's improving their skill, your skill set or whatnot. We're there to help you. So our long-term goal in, I wouldn't say long-term goal, but our goal over the next couple years is to create a community where every single person that is following us is able to contribute and learn from one another. So that's our first thing, to create that community where people have any questions, have any career questions, they could ask on there, and it's there for you guys. One of our other goals that we have is to create courses for you guys if you need to improve on your English, whether it's comprehension or reading or writing. We're going to create courses for that. If you have a knack for drawing and you don't know where you want to go, we're also going to be creating courses and ideas to put you on the right path for your career. So if you are a creative person who likes to draw, maybe interning under a current graphic designer would be helpful for you to understand this. Hey, this is what I want to do. If you need a course in Photoshop, Illustrator, Premiere Pro, After Effects, InDesign, you name it, we're gonna get there. It might take us some time to get there because we have to learn from our audience exactly what they want. And if you are following us on this podcast or on LinkedIn, we're going to be sending out a survey to ask you guys specifically what is it you want to see first so that we can build out something specifically for what you want. So follow us on LinkedIn and you'll be the first to know.
Awesome. So you're mentioning about these courses. First of all, they're new courses. And I feel like a lot of times are very cautious about taking on or subscribing to projects that are new. So can we talk about the additional value that doing these courses have above maybe doing the courses that people are interested in other platforms? Like, why is Hire Remotely, why are our courses going to be better than any other courses that you see online?
Because the courses are being built by you. It's your feedback, your direct feedback and input is guiding the courses. And on top of that, we're going to be building out a community that's based out of you guys. And we're going to try to foster a sense of inclusion across the board. And every single course, every single webinar, every single thing that we're doing, because we have such a large following on LinkedIn, we are building this out specifically for you, by you.
Yeah, I would add to that. I would say that they're also, like you mentioned at the beginning, like they're meant to be career oriented. Like they're not just courses for you do as a hobby, but really that are intended for you to get hired. So I think that's also very important to mention. And I feel like that's a special plus, because a lot of courses, and I've done courses online before, they don't really tell you how to monetize the things that you're learning. And I feel like these courses could really take that advantage. Like, how do I get hired after this? How do I take this course and then get hired if it's something that's new for me? So I feel like Hire Remotely is going to have that edge. I really like how these courses are shaping up.
And for sure, and we're not here just to, you know, sell you a course and walk away. We are partnered with other staffing and recruiting agencies, and once we see that you're, you know, progressing very well in your course, or you're a good contributor in the community forum that we're going to build, we will assign you to those. We'll hand you off to those staffing agencies and assign you to work to get a full-time job. So that's what we're there for as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's a great plus, because again, a lot of courses online don't offer that. They just give you the course and then you're good to go. But Hired Remotely is not just that. Exactly. I feel like what's great about hire remotely is like what you say, it's a community. It's not only meant for you to find a job, but also prepare, specialize, be part of a community, be part of, talk to other people that are also working online for other businesses. I feel like it's just, it feels full circle. It's like, it's really creating that community that you mentioned.
A person straight out of high school, they don't know what to do with their life. We're there to make sure that we're holding each person's hand and guiding them across to get to the other side. That's what we're there for. If you have any questions, please feel free. Reach us out on LinkedIn, send us a message. You know where to reach us. We're here for you.
Amazing. So how do you select expert instructors for those trainings to ensure that the courses provide real value to the participants?
Okay, so first we take a look at if these instructors have taught another course in the past. That's number one. We check the reviews on those courses for sure. And then we reach out to them and we ask them to prepare a course that's specific to our users. Because again, as I said in the beginning of this episode, we are here to build out a course and build out an experience specifically tailored to you. We're not cookie cutter. We don't offer cookie cutter experiences. We want to tailor it specifically to you. So if our audience is asking for an After Effects tutorial, we'll build out an After Effects tutorial. If our audience is saying, hey, I am a 19-year-old, you know, I can do, you know, I could draw a lot by hand, but I don't know what to do, which software to use, which classes to take in school, whatever the case is, we'll build out a full path, a career path for you with our career consultants.
Yeah, and it's amazing because I know it's going to be a lot of courses that we are going to start developing, and there are going to be a lot of professionals that we can learn from and get. As Gabby was telling us, it's not about just learning and leaving, but also about finding a right job, just deep understanding these challenges that we have as professionals. So I think it's fantastic to hear about this process and for the selecting expert instructors that we know are going to be amazing. Let's talk about the unique challenges now about what Latin American professionals are facing in remote work. What are those challenges that you, Salomon, have seen and how these courses can benefit them? Like what are those unique challenges that us as Latin American people, professionals, facing this remote work, and how do you think these courses are going to help us succeed? And if you could probably share like a testimonial or someone that not only has been beneficial for just working with you, someone that you see, hey, this person was working with me and this is how they got better. And this is the process that they have been making throughout these years.
Sure. So these I would say obstacles, and the courses are there to help not just Latin American professionals, because businesses in the United States typically have a hard time hiring remote workers because of the sensitivity of the work that they're doing, and because they lack the trust in hiring any remote employee, whether it's somebody from the Philippines or somebody from India, whatever the case is. The courses that we're planning and the webinars and the career coaching that we're trying to do, and the sense of the community that we're trying to build, is intended to instill and build that confidence in you in order to relay that confidence when we're pairing you up with a client to work with, when we're pairing you up with a business. Because the number one thing any business owner is looking for is the confidence in their abilities. Because almost anything in the world is teachable. If you have the confidence to want to do it or to do it, that is the most important thing. So by taking a course or by attending a webinar or by speaking to a career guide, a career coach, they can instill that confidence in you in order to, you know, ace your interview and whatnot.
Amazing. I think that a great topic or a great challenge to approach, which again, I do courses regularly, like ever so often. I think I've never seen something where people approach the cultural differences, you know, in a diverse work environment. Because like here where American companies are hiring English speaking, you know, Latin American members, you don't have like the language barrier, but you still have cultural differences that can generate barriers of communication. Yeah,
that's a huge thing.
More than communication, of interpretation. So I feel like that would be amazing to see in one course. I'm just putting in my two cents.
Oh, for sure.
Of what I think it would be amazing to see something like that about cultural diversity, maybe about communication, of course. And then just like that transition from working outside, from working like physically, and then transitioning to remote work. I wish like I would have had someone 4 years ago when I started working remotely to tell me like, hey, this is what you should prepare for. Like have a comfortable space. Like I think that maybe that could be done like through a webinar or something, but I feel like that would be amazing to see like maybe in a course or content from Hired Remotely.
The cultural interpretations, as you mentioned, is a huge, huge thing because a lot of businesses in the United States, they're looking for simple. And oftentimes, a lot of the times, I've been working with Latin American professionals for the past 6 years or so, I've seen this a lot. The very big differences between the U.S. businesses and the Latin American professionals is that the U.S. businesses, they often like people to read between the lines. And a lot of what's said is about what's not said. So reading between the lines is difficult. And American businesses, they definitely do like simple. They don't like things that are overcomplicated. They like things straight to the point for sure. And what I've seen from Latin American professionals is they oftentimes, not always, they come at topics with a high level of professionalism, which is welcomed for sure, but there is a time and a place for all that. So if you're having a conversation with an American businessman, it's like, okay, and if you know you send out an email saying I am contacting you now at this point in this email, and it's like, okay, it's appreciated, but it's like, you know, get to the point. You know, adding extra words into an email.
Sometimes it feels robotic.
Are you a robot?
Yeah. It has a lot to do with it not being people's first language, I believe. Like, I went to class and like the English courses that we saw, like we usually see in high school or when you subscribe to a course online or, you know, any kind of course, it's usually very technical. And I learned English when I was little, and I would say always in class, like, this is not functional English, because people, they teach you English, like, so technical, and then you watch TV, and then you don't understand anything. So that creates a barrier of communication. And a lot of times people that are still learning English, that are still, like, medium or, you know, advanced but not fully proficient, they have a hard time with slang, they have a hard time with jargon, with phrases or common
Americans
and,
love slang.
And it happens with every language. You know, every language has its own particularities. But yeah, that's exactly that. That's a difference that's presented due to cultural, you know, differences. Like it's those are things that I would love to like hear more about, to see like more about people's experiences with that, like, and how do we approach it? Or even like if we are going to do like an English course or something, like do it like practical as possible, like professional, technical, but day-to-day English for remote workers.
For sure. For an English teacher, we would have to contact an English speaking person, not a Latin American person who knows English.
Yeah.
Very different people, very different, because you have to understand.
It has to be like very, very pointed towards practical learning, because there's like methodologies. A lot of schools here, English schools in Latin America, they're still very strict and like in the old ways, like you first learn about grammatic and syntax and how to structure sentences and grammar. But I feel like nowadays there are like more modern approaches where you just learn English through immersion, learn any language through immersion. Like you just like sink into it and then you learn along the way. And it's easy. It's easier like that. Like you have Duolingo that actually nowadays they use a different methodology of teaching. So I feel like whatever we do for Hired Remotely, it has to be also very practical.
I also think that probably like an English club will work, where people like you're just learning, but at the same time, it's like, we're going to talk about slangs, or we're going to talk about this topic today. We're going to teach you how to do this without saying this. I don't know if you understand. Like,
yeah, like the forums that Solomon was mentioning before, like, you know, create that sense of community where people can just like meet each other, even if they're not working together, and just like practice their skills. That would be great. That would be great too.
Sure.
Solomon, how has your disruptive mindset driven success and innovation at Hired Remotely? Like, can you share an example of a time when challenging conventional thinking led to extraordinary results?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm not the person to accept things as is and, oh, this is the way we've always been doing it. If there's an opportunity anywhere to improve at any step of the way, I'm taking that risk. Because and I'm sure you guys have seen it. You guys have worked with me for a while now. You've seen it. If I see any point at any time that an improvement can be made, I will take that risk and make that improvement. So to your question, how has my disruptive mindset driven the success? In the beginning, we were publishing ads for jobs primarily on LinkedIn. And I've seen that limitation now, well, not now, but in the near future, within a month or so, we're going to be posting job ads in specific to the countries that we're hiring in, on the specific job boards of those specific countries, getting more local talent, on the ground talent, and it'll definitely help us. In addition to that, probably closer to the end of the year or the beginning of next year, we're going to be reaching out to universities in the specific countries to recruit talent specifically from those universities. So that's something that most companies that are helping you find a job are not doing. They're just posting an ad and hoping that you apply. We're going to be, you know, working and partnering up with universities in the countries that we're trying to hire from, with the college guidance counselors and things like that, to get people to join our team. We're here to find talent and to cultivate that talent to be better than they are.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I do think that there's some people probably just stuck with the people that they have in their country, and they don't know that there's a pool of opportunities from other people that could also benefit you. And yeah, language could be a barrier, but that doesn't mean that they cannot add something into your company. And it's just really challenging for most people to, because not everyone has that mindset that you have, like this disrupted mindset. And that's something I think that most companies, company leaders need in order to keep growing, to keep innovating, to keep pursuing or just getting better at. Because we don't get to change anything if we keep doing the same things. So I think that's amazing. That's something I've learned, and I'm pretty sure most of the team has learned from you. Just prioritizing this community over something so traditional and just thinking outside the box, I think that's really important. So talking about this initiatives or just innovation and just disruptive thinking, what advice would you give someone that's looking to start their own business, especially from a remote sector, or probably something that can help someone that it's thinking to innovate or just to start their own business?
Well, before I answer your question, I just wanted to touch base a little bit on the previous question. I understand that sometimes, you know, a disruptive mindset can effectively hurt a business growth, for sure. I understand there's some sometimes there is a need for structure and guidance, and I'm here as the owner. I've been reading a book and over the past few weeks called Traction, and I, as what I am, the typical textbook visionary. I come up with ideas. I try to put it into place. But I try to get the right people in the right seats in order to help me get there. And the most important thing for any business owner, and this answers your question right now, is number one, take risks, because you will not be able to get anywhere if you don't take a risk. Whether it's not even for a business owner, this is for anybody, even a person that is straight out of high school, and you have two choices. Take that risk, take the dive, jump into the deep end. You'll learn along the way. My motto is I'm gonna jump off a cliff and learn how to build my airplane on the way down.
Like that.
I'll figure it out as I go along.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
If you keep waiting for the right answers, you'll never get there.
Yeah.
So jump, do the dive. You'll figure it out as you go, because there's no such thing as perfect. The term is not practice makes perfect. It's practice makes progress. Let's just progress, move forward, move the needle. That's all you got to do. 1% improvement every single day is a significant difference over the course of a year. Just take that risk. That's all it is. If I'm going to give advice to anybody, just take the risk. Whether it's starting a business or doing anything, just do it.
Yeah, and don't be scared to fail, because you are going to fail at a certain point. Like, you are going to make mistakes because it may be the first time, but that doesn't mean that that's the end. Like, you can't fear failure when you're
for sure
doing something for the first time. You have to factor it in, actually, inside the process. Like, you know that there is a moment that inevitably you're not going to get it right, but you can't let that steer you away from the goal or the purpose that you have. And like the other thing that you said about having the right people, because I think that for young people that maybe don't know how to manage, that don't have experience managing, and they're like diving into this process of having their own business, like, that's going to be like maybe the biggest struggle when you have to start including people in your team and you don't know what to look for in them. Like, you have to,
for sure,
they have to have the right values. They have to align with your vision. They have to have ethics, you know, or the ethical points that you're looking for.
Morals.
The morals are very important. Straight. Because even though there might be cultural differences, morals, you know, they are like the baseline of any culture. So there are many morals that are like you say, transcultural. Like so definitely having the right people, I would say, like, I think that's like the biggest point. And I think that a lot of people really just undermine it the most. Like, I've seen this very constantly, people like businesses trying to just hire people because it's what they need at the moment, and then they don't notice that it's not the right person to sustain in time. And that creates like rotation, and it creates a culture inside the company that may not be beneficial. So the best thing that you can do is just like right away start looking for the right people.
For sure. And back to your point about failure, Thomas Edison failed 1,000 times before he invented the light bulb. So you never know. Keep failing, because that's the only way you learn.
Adding that something, it's about one skill, it's being persistent. So many people can just fail and then get yes. discouraged really easy because they think things are not going the way they want it. So I think it takes time and effort just to stay resilient and patient. Like we were talking, Harry Mole has a little bit more, I think, over than 3 years. I don't exactly know the dates, but I'm pretty sure that if Solomon would have stopped, we wouldn't be here. Like, if he would have, I don't know, given up from the beginning, we wouldn't even be speaking this conversation. We wouldn't even be having all of these activities that are coming up. And I also think that what Gabby said is true. Having a great team will make you keep going forward, and just being persistent, it's really, really important.
Very wise words.
I think there's a phrase in Spanish that's like, If you're alone, you'll get there faster, but if you're in a team, you'll get further.
It's not just Spanish. It's English too.
You have it in English
It's an
too?
English saying too.
Awesome. It's specifically that. Like, I feel like for an entrepreneur, like you can start and maintain something very little and even keep it in time. You have like a one-man show, like a one-man production where you do, and that's, I think that's just being a freelancer, if you
A
ask me.
solopreneur. That's a solopreneur.
That's a
That's a
solopreneur.
solopreneur right there.
Exactly. But if you want to do something bigger and, you know, maybe engage with a bigger audience, you need a team.
Yeah, very important. If you're, if I mean, if you're a business owner and you're looking to scale, for sure, you need to have your systems process, your process systemized in order to be able to scale and in order for you to step back.
Okay, so unfortunately, our episode has come to an end.
Oh
This
man.
episode was amazing. Thank you very much, Solomon, for joining us today. We hope that you can be
No
back
problem.
very soon because I feel like
I hope
there's a
so.
lot of topics to cover here. I feel like once Really Hired Remotely starts like rolling out all these initiatives, we can have you back and we can talk in detail about these projects. It sounds
If
amazing.
my
Like, I
people
feel
let
like
me,
it's a
I'll be
great
back.
year for Hired Remotely. Like, we're doing just so much, so many great stuff. So much great stuff. I don't know.
So many
So
great
many
things
great
that you need to buy
things.
a course.
So,
You need to buy a course,
I need
Gabby.
a course on grammar. We're
Yeah.
doing so many great things and it's just exciting. So I really hope that we can have you back soon.
No problem. I'm here.
Yeah, just as usual, thank you to our listeners for staying until the very end of this episode of the Hired Hub.
Remember, we have new episodes dropping every Tuesday on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcast.
And the journey to finding your dream job knows no bounds. Whether you're navigating the nuances of remote work, exploring family dynamics in business, or promoting workspace diversity, know that you are not alone.
Don't forget to follow us on social media through Hired Remotely's LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok accounts. This is Gabby.
And this is Des. Until next time.
That wraps another episode of the Hired Hub podcast. We hope you found today's discussion empowering and insightful. Remember, success in the world of remote work is within your reach, and we're here to support you every step of the way.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast for more expert advice and engaging conversations. Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to help us reach more people who can benefit from the Hired Hub podcast.